Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. What a show we have this week. Arnold Schwarzenegger is one of the best guests we've ever had on this show. And this week is really something special. We headed out to USC, where the Schwarzenegger Institute hosted an event called Terminate Hate, which was deeply personal for Arnold, whose father was a Nazi officer. And has worked for the last several decades to fight back against extremism around the world. Just last year, he went to Auschwitz. He's really crusaded in a way that has gone viral with a video that reached billions of people. And it was really something to talk to him about that part of his life.
It's important for all of us to get together here and to talk.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's USC Institute hosts a conference confronting anti-Semitism called Terminating Hate.
I don't have to do exactly what my father did. I don't have to copy him.
Schwarzenegger's father was a Nazi officer in World War II.
As a kid, what did your parents tell you about Jews?
When I grew up, no one ever talked about the Second World War, the atrocities about Jews or anything like that. So there was no prejudice talk going on. I just recognized very quickly that every time my father noticed something was Jewish related, that he had an attitude about it.
Arnold says as a teenage bodybuilder, his perspective changed after meeting an Austrian politician named Alfred Gerstel.
His son was working out, so I got to know him, and he always talked about, you know, the importance of inclusion. And then later on, I found out, he never said I'm a Jew or anything like this, but later on, I found out he was a Jew. And he then became friends with my father.
As Schwarzenegger grew older, Gerstel's lessons grew more relevant.
I always heard this voice of Alfred Gerstel, Arnold, be inclusive. Everyone is equal. Don't ever be prejudiced.
For decades, Arnold has been one of the biggest supporters of LA's Museum of Tolerance.
We have one thing in common, that we both fight prejudice.
Last year, he visited the Nazi death camps in Auschwitz with the son of Holocaust survivors.
I want to talk to you today about the rising hate and anti-Semitism.
Schwarzenegger's online message about hate reached billions of people online.
Today's pretty amazing.
This conference uniting academic leaders with Hollywood leaders to talk storytelling.
Start thinking about that. How do we create stories that are emotional stories, but not preachy, but kind of the story kind of unfolds in a way where everyone comes together.
We also headed out to Alta C, a very cool blue technology space in San Pedro, to talk to him about climate change and the solar work there, but also talk to him about a variety of issues, including that pothole that he filled that got so much attention. It was actually a trench and lots of misreporting about that. We talked about his new book. We talked about his new TV show and his new app and his new pig. We found out that he's got a pig. This was one of our favorite conversations. Love this episode. Hope you love it too. Here is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Who is here?
Hey, Governor.
One of our favorite journalists.
Recently, Schwarzenegger invited us to join him at Alta C in San Pedro.
One, two, three.
Where he showcases their massive solar roof. 4 acres of panels on this one roof alone.
This is exactly what we need to do all over the state of California.
Let's start on the water.
Our tour guide is Alta C CEO Terry Tamminen, who led California's EPA under then-Governor Schwarzenegger. Schwarzenegger's then-cousin by marriage, Bobby Kennedy Jr., first introduced them during Schwarzenegger's campaign for governor.
He taught me everything that I know about the environment.
We check out 3D printing designed for the sea, growing food through aquaculture, and the latest in wave power.
All of this technology is blue technology, so it's solutions for climate change from the ocean.
After, he sits down with us for an extensive and exclusive interview.
Governor, always great to see you, and pretty cool to be here. What is it, do you think, that the state and the world can learn from what we're seeing here?
I think that people always feel like if it hasn't been done, then it's impossible.
Yeah.
And here's an example that it is possible, that you can take an old building that is 100 years old, this warehouse here at San Pedro, and they put the solar on it. It's 180,000 square feet. This rooftop, one rooftop like that. So it just shows you what we can do. So if we would literally cover all the warehouse rooftops in California, we could get around, you know, 70 gigawatts, which is 70,000 megawatts of energy. Now the state, and it's hardest, they only use 80,000. So think about the kind of energy we could create. But for that, you have to really have a will, and you have to have everyone work together, and we can accomplish that within the next 10 years.
One thing I just learned listening to you out there is that you said that you really weren't that interested in the environment until your then cousin by marriage, Bobby Kennedy Jr., convinced you that this is really important stuff. Now he's running for president. Are you backing him?
No, no, I'm not backing anybody. I'm not into the endorsement business. But I was very thankful, and always will be, to Bobby Kennedy. First of all, he's an outstanding man. He's very smart. And I've been friends with him ever since I met him, when I started going out with Maria. He was always very kind and respectful. And we always shared ideas, and he always talked to me about the environment and his passion about the environment. The environment was not my main issue when I first got really into this whole thing. When Bobby Kennedy told me about the importance of that, and I said to him, I said, hey, I trust you. I said, anytime. So I met Terry Tamminen, he introduced me to him, I met him, and he then really helped me in my creating the vision for California and for the rest of the nation. And so I think that really helped me. And this is why I say so many times, we talked about it, why I say, you know, I get a lot of times the credit for something, but people should know that I'm a product of a lot of help. And Terry Tamminen is one of those helps, and Bobby Kennedy was one of those helps. And that this is why I am so into the environment now, because of those guys, and why I'm such a crusader for a clean environment.
I got to ask you about the pothole thing. So you posted this video of filling a pothole. It went viral. There was a lot of misinformation that came out. From your perspective, what happened?
First of all, at the Schwarzenegger Institute, I always tell students, don't just study and learn. Also think about how can you actually make a difference.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to show, and I always do that, that I jump in there and try to solve a problem, whatever it may be. In this case, I just happened to see the gas, Southern California Gas Company, finish their work in January, and they closed the trench there perfectly.
Yeah.
But obviously not perfectly enough that when the next rain came, it washed it out.
Yeah.
And the hole became bigger and bigger and bigger, and then all of a sudden, I was riding down with my bicycle and I said, oh my God, I could have wiped out here. But then it went on now from January to February through March, and now it's April. And I said, well, how much longer do we have to deal with this hole? So of course, throughout the time we complained. Mm-hmm. And no one came out to do anything. So I just decided from one day to the next, they called my buddies and said, can you pick up some asphalt for me and bring it? I'm gonna meet you at 10:30 down there at this trench, and it is potholes. There was two of them. I filled the trench, I filled the pothole with the asphalt. It took me 25 minutes. It was nothing. And then we just pounded it down and drove over it with our vehicles a few times, and that was it.
Yeah.
And then the misinformation started. This was actually a service trench. A service trench is something that when you're still working on it.
Right.
But they stopped working on it. So there was no one working on it. So there was a lie. So now, the Southern California Gas and the people that are in charge of filling, doing those holes and all this stuff, have lied to the mayor, obviously. Mm. And so she does not know, she was not out there. And they started spreading misinformation until the LA Times and other journalists started looking into it, and they found out the work has been completed in January. So it was not a working trench.
Yeah.
And Arnold was right, he should have filled the hole if he wants to really be out there and save the community and all this stuff and save people from wiping out with the bicycles. And so people, you know, thousands and thousands of people have thanked me for it. And there was really a positive reaction. I wanted to make sure that the mayor knows that this is not something to kind of like say, you're not effective or something like that. I told her on the phone, I said, look, you're new in this job. I said, I just wanted to help. It was not to embarrass you at all, and I'm not going to say anything about you. I said, that's it. I said, so now the end product is I fixed the road. They came out and they said, it looked great. He did a great job. And now everyone is happy. I'm happy that I was able to participate. The city is happy that I did a good job. And everyone is friendly and everyone is nice to each other. So that's the end product.
So the mayor, Karen Bass, you worked closely with her. She was the Speaker of the Assembly when you were governor. So you guys actually had a conversation about this trench on the phone?
Yeah, she called me. You have to understand, we have a really good relationship, yeah. Right? So she's a great public servant. I worked with her in Sacramento and admired the work she's done in Congress. In the House, and so now she became mayor. I want to be supportive of her and all of that. So she called me, we had a very good discussion, and she's wonderful.
Were you frustrated by the media with this whole thing?
Well, it's one of those things that when you tell the media what the reality is, they so many times fall in love with the headline. Schwarzenegger tried to do something good, but that's what makes people then look at the story. What is it about?
Yeah.
Right? And so that somehow gets more clicks and more viewers. And so they then create misleading headlines. And it's a shame that they do that, but look, what do I care? Yeah. Remember one thing. I always said that I would never complain about the media simply because I'm a product of the media.
Yeah.
Everything that I've ever done in my life to promote bodybuilding was through the media. To promote my movies was through the media. To promote my governorship and to run for governor was through the media. And now my work, my environmental work and all of this stuff is through the media. I'm not going to go and say, because some people make some wrong headlines, that they're bad. No. I love you, I say to the media. I love you. I need you. You need me to your stories.
Yeah.
This is a perfect relationship.
Up next, what's Arnold's most important rule for success? Plus, the return of Arnold the action star in his first ever TV show.
Hey, Daniel, just FYI, that camera is going as a shot. Thank you.
Daniel always does that. He always wants to be in the shot. I'm sorry about
when
that.
When you look that good, why do you
should
be in the
it's,
shot,
it's,
right?
But he cut his hair.
Yeah.
Now I don't want to have him in the shot. Plus, he doesn't wear makeup, and that ages him around 10 years. I started sitting down and I started writing page after page, line after line, paragraph after paragraph. And then out of that came this, be useful. And that is the seven rules, the tools to success.
I know you can't give us all the tools, but can you give us maybe an example of one of them?
Well, I think that the most common things that I talk about when I give success speeches is about creating a vision. I think one of the major problems that people have is they don't know where they're going. So I always use an example of a sophisticated airplane, the most sophisticated airplane, but if the pilot does not know where to go, he's going to fly around and eventually he's going to crash.
Yeah.
So the same is in life. If you have no direction, if you have no purpose, if you have no goal, if you have no mission, then you're floating around and you can never be happy. You don't even know why you're getting out of bed in the morning. Why are you going to work? You maybe hate your job. 70% of the people in America hate their jobs.
Yeah.
So that's not the way to go. So what I did as a young kid was I created a vision. I said, I want to be a bodybuilding champion. Then I want to use this sport to get to America. And then I want to use this spot to get into movies, just like Reg Park and Steve Reeves did the Hercules movies. I can do the same thing. If they did it, then I can do it. And then I want to make millions of dollars. And I want to become rich and famous. And all these kind of crazy goals
right.
I had, right?
And you did
and
it.
So I did that. And so I want to tell people it was possible because I had a vision and a dream. And I clearly saw where I want to go. And this is one of the big recommendations that I have for people. It's very, very important. The other one, the second one I just want to throw in is don't listen to the naysayers. Because there's too many people out there when you have an extraordinary plan. Let's say you say, I want to be the most famous journalist in the world, and people say, you're a little crazy. Well, don't pay attention to that.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything, right? It just means that for them it'll be too much.
Yeah.
Well, that's great, because that's easier for you than to become the greatest journalist and the most famous journalist, right? Because they say it's impossible, you say it's possible, so that's how you get there. So I never complained about the naysayers, I just said don't pay attention to the naysayers. Yeah. And so this is the key thing, because I've heard you would never be a bodybuilding champion, you would never get to America, you would never become governor, you would never be a movie star, or any of those things. I always said, no, 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 it's impossible, and but they did it anyway.
The title itself, Be Useful, that's something that your father told you years ago,
it's
right?
The most common thing. My father always said, he said, no matter what you do, son, just be useful.
So how do you think you're most useful now?
Well, I think that no matter what you do, if it is fixing the road, it's being useful. Yeah. Going out and promote the environment is being useful. Doing movies and entertaining people is being useful. Having the Schwarzenegger Institute is being useful. Having the My Environmental Conference next month in Vienna to promote the environment and to terminate pollution, that's being useful. So everything we do is being useful. So that's the key thing, is to always be useful. Do something and get in there. And it's important that we do things not just for ourselves, but we do things for us all. You know, we got to think about giving back
right.
to the community and giving back. That's just like we have done with the homeless issue, as
sure.
you remember, building the homeless and the houses for the veterans, or the environmental issues, or filling the pothole, or whatever it is. Just be, go out and be useful. Don't talk about it, and don't say, well, what can I do? I'm a nobody. I don't have any money. What can I contribute? A lot.
Right.
Everyone can contribute a lot.
So that book comes out in October. You can pre-order it now. You can subscribe to your daily newsletter, where you get a lot of these thoughts every day, which is great. I subscribe. It's excellent. And the other big thing that's coming out for you, Arnold the Action Star is back. FUBAR, right. which is on Netflix, just dropped a trailer this week. We get to see you.
I'm back, baby.
Can you tell us a little bit about what that's about and what made you decide to get into the TV game for the first time in your career?
You know, David Ellison came to me, and he did produce the last two Terminators with me, and we get along really well, and he liked the way I work and all that stuff. And so he came to me and he says, Arnold, I have an idea. I would like you to do True Lies, but on TV, as an ongoing series.
Wow.
So I said, well, that sounds great. I said, I've never done a TV series before. I said, but that would be a great idea. And he says, let me put a concept together. And that's what he did. And I was blown away and laughed my head off. Great action. And so I said, I do it, and I committed.
Yeah.
And now with that, it was really a wise decision, because we went to Toronto and we shot that series for 4.5 months. It was really hard work. But now it's coming out finally on May 25th. And the reviews of the trailer were extraordinary. I think when people see the actual series, they will also be as positive about it. And they will love it, because it's just action-packed, but also very, very funny, of playing this action guy that is such a great CIA agent. But just like in True Lies, when I come home, I'm a nobody. I only have trouble at home.
Yeah.
With my daughter and with my son and
right.
with my wife and everyone. Trouble, 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 no matter what it was. So I'm kind of in a situation like everyone else is in, but then when I go out again, I'm the number one in a spy.
Yeah, I mean, the funniest part of it is sort of the interaction of you as a dad in that. I'm wondering, because we know that some of your kids are in the acting game themselves, your son-in-law, Chris Pratt, obviously in the acting game. Would you ever want to play their dad on screen?
If it's a good script, of course, I would love to work with my kids.
Yeah.
This is the greatest honor and greatest pleasure to do that, yes.
Still to come, how does Arnold balance it all, including being a pet dad?
Come on, Whiskey.
Big picture, because all the stuff we just talked about you doing, multiple conferences, a new app, a new book, a new TV show, on top of speeches and being a dad and being a granddad and being a boyfriend and being a pet dad to Lula and Whiskey and everybody at home. How do you balance it all?
Well, you know, the saying is always, the busier you are, the more you can get accomplished.
Yeah.
So it's like, now I can take on more responsibilities because I have a very organized kind of a life. And you know, the key thing is that you have good people around you. That's how you're able to do that.
Yeah.
And I have a good balance. between work and fun. You know, because when I play with my animals, we just got a new pig.
You got a pig?
A pig.
What's
it's
the name of the
Schnelli.
Pig?
Schnelli.
Schnelli?
Yeah, Schnelli. So okay. The word Schnell means fast in German, right? So because when she brought her home, she ran out of the house and she ran all over the property and we couldn't catch her. So we couldn't catch him. It's a he.
Yeah.
And so we called, I said, it's so Schnell. And then my girlfriend said, why don't we call her Schnelli? I said, that's a great idea. So we called her Schnelli. So anyway, so now she doesn't run away anymore. But I mean, he's fantastic. So it's so much fun to feed the animals in the morning, all the different dynamics and all this stuff, and to have that and to travel around the world and to promote the environment, to have environmental conferences, to do speeches, to have the book being released, and now the promotional tour for FUBAR, the TV series that's coming out. In case someone doesn't know what FUBAR means, it means beyond all recognition or beyond all repair. So yeah. Sometimes they say this and sometimes they say that. But anyway, yeah. So that's the title of it because that's what my life is like in a TV series. And then, like I said, there's all kinds of action. My life is exciting and I love it.
What goes through your mind?
When we come back, we celebrate The Issue Is's fifth anniversary. And Arnold almost brings me to tears.
I'll be back.
He is finally here. And we couldn't be more excited to welcome the 38th governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Welcome to The Issue Is.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
This month, our show is celebrating its five-year anniversary. And I just want to say thank you so much for being one of our most frequent guests, our best guests, most unpredictable, fun. It's been amazing to be on this journey with you. And I'm so appreciative of your time and how kind you've been to me and our team.
Well, you know, this is only because you guys are good. No, it's such a pleasure for me to work with someone that really is into it. You get into the news, inside, not just to read a teleprompter. That's easy to do. But when you bring the news, I know that you studied the issues.
Yeah.
So just like this here is a perfect example. You come down here to study what's going on the roof. What does it look like, the 180,000 square feet of solar? How did they connect it? How did they send it back to the grid? So you know all of this stuff. So when you ask me questions, it comes from your heart and from your brain rather than just, you know, from your mouth. And so to me, anytime you call, no matter what the issue is, I will be there for you. And I will be there for your station because you're fantastic.
No matter what the issue is. Well, thank you for being on The Issue Is. Governor Schwarzenegger, you're the man. Thanks, everybody, for watching. We'll see you next week. That was great. Thank you so much for being so generous with that. That was awesome. Thank you. Bravo.
Thank you.
Our thanks to Arnold Schwarzenegger. Our thanks to you for listening. Next week, we celebrate our fifth anniversary here on The Issue Is. I can't believe we're here. And so grateful for you, Gail, for helping us in that journey. Please like us, subscribe, let people know about us, share it out. Thanks so much for listening to The Issue Is. See you next week.